The future of Sears with a deadline tomorrow. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Last week on Marcus was anything but milk toast. This morning, things are mixed. The Dow is down 31 points, a 0.1%. The S&P 500 is down just slightly. The NASDAQ Composite Index is up 0.2%. Let's consult economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. Hi, Julia.
Good morning.
Tell you, you can't understand the week to come without understanding what you went through last week, what we all went through last week. It was wild.
That was a wild ride, yes, yes. We had an earnings scare from Apple that's tied to the global slowdown that everybody's got an eye on, so that tanked the markets. But then we got a incredible jobs report and rhetoric from the Fed that they'll be nicer to us, to markets, that they're not, you know, set on raising interest rates, that they're going to watch the markets and the economy and see how things unfold. And that was good news. So that brought markets roaring back on Friday. It's a very deep divide between the healthy U.S. data and the mood in markets and the global economy.
This week could turn on whether or not the U.S. and China make any progress in their talks that began today in Beijing.
Yes. So that's clearly been a worry on the mind of markets. It's also been showing up in earnings warnings. So this is a critical piece of the market correction we've seen. So how that unfolds is going to be very material for how the markets play out early in the year.
And briefly, look at the bright side, interest rates. The benchmark is at 2.64% or thereabouts today.
Yes, that's our automatic stabilizer. So with greater worries comes greater flight to quality, lower interest rates. That's going to push mortgage rates down. So that's the silver lining of any market volatility.
Economist Julia Coronado is at Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Now to the number 68,000. That's the number of people whose jobs are at risk if Sears and Kmart fail. Today we're watching to see if a partial rescue plan by the Sears chairman gels or falls apart. Marketplace's Scott Tong is following this. Hi, Scott.
Good morning, David.
So Sears declared bankruptcy October, but hundreds of stores are still open, and there's this last-ditch effort to keep them going. What's the latest?
Well, Eddie Lampert, the Sears chairman, as you said, he's trying to pull off this complicated purchase. His hedge fund would buy some 400 of the best-performing stores and potentially save some 50,000 jobs. Now, we are talking about Sears and Kmart stores. You may remember, David, that Eddie Lampert, the noted takeover king, engineered Sears' acquisition of Kmart when it went bankrupt 15 years ago. And now he's offering $4.5 billion to keep some of the stores open. But reports suggest there were financing problems at an emergency meeting on Friday. So should this all fall through, Sears is hunting for liquidation pros to pull the plug on everything.
All right. And if the deal falls through, how quickly could Sears disappear from the retail landscape?
It could start this month. Tomorrow is a court-ordered deadline for these rescue talks. And next Monday, liquidation companies will put in their formal bids to wind Sears down. And in that case, closing down sales could happen this month. And 68,000 workers, as you say, they could be out of work pretty soon.
Scott, thank you very much. After the terrible California wildfires, some people in the region have been taking out special loans to pay for upgrades to make their property more fire-resistant. These are often PACE loans, more typically used to pay to make homes more energy efficient. But following the fires, some consumer advocates are urging homeowners to know what they're getting into with these loans. Lisa Sitkin is senior staff attorney at the National Housing Law Project.
So PACE is basically a program that was developed to finance so-called green home upgrades, you know, replacing your HVAC system with something more efficient, getting energy efficient windows or solar panels. And what's different about PACE than a normal loan that you might take out against a house is that instead of making monthly payments to a mortgage servicer, you actually repay it as part of your property tax bill once or twice a year, depending on your state's property tax schedule.
But you see other more fundamental problems with these PACE loans. Give me a sense of what's in your crosshairs.
From the consumer protection perspective, which is where I'm coming from, many, if not most, of these loans are sold basically door-to-door by the contractors who are going to do the work. We're concerned that there's sort of an inherent conflict of interest, that the person who's assessing what's needed at a house and also quoting prices is the same one who effectively is selling the loan to that person and also facilitating all the paperwork and things like that. So we've seen a lot of problems, a lot of abuses, particularly when the homeowners are elderly, maybe not able to understand all of the information, which is often presented on a electronic tablet and signed electronically. Sometimes they're people who are not English speakers as their first language. So there have been a lot of abuses by these contractors who are basically deputized to sell the loans by the companies.
So I understand this. So a person maybe knocks on your door and says, we can help you upgrade your air conditioning system. We got this cool loan, and it will disperse the loan here in the winter, but you might not have to pay it back until your first property tax bill months from now?
Yeah, that's pretty much how it works. They walk around the house, they show them all the great things that they could do and tell them that they're going to save on energy bills. That, by the way, is something that's never audited at the back end. And then in many cases, the contractor will sort of glide over, let's say, the details of really how much this is going to cost. These are relatively expensive loans, interest rate-wise and fee-wise, compared to other options.
Recently, some members of Congress wrote the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau urging federal regulators to require more transparency with these loans. Lisa Sitkin, National Housing Law Project, a housing rights organization, thank you. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.